my mama say,
it takes time.
Punch.
Hi guys. She welcomed you first. She's so happy about it. The Strokes,
Khadisi,
and you're at the Black Table. Welcome back.
Welcome.
Hi Khadisi, how you been?
I'm great. I just saw you.
Great. So. Well, you have to pretend that you didn't see me because it's a whole new episode. Okay.
Shit. Hi.
She is going to keep trying to put my government on this podcast every episode.
It's so hard.
It's fine. We just had an extended conversation before we press record on this episode, so we're already sick of each other, which is great.
I know.
But you know what? It's fine. Welcome to the podcast life, right?
Yeah.
We got to update the folks on what's been going on recently.
So I went to the gas station and I bought some scratch jobs. I won $40 on one, $8 on another, that's and $2 on another. So basically my rent is paid.
Wow, that's
so
crazy.
This is amazing.
So proud of
insert,
you
insert like applause.
That's awesome.
And what about you?
I lost a pant size. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you showed me a picture.
Yeah I lost a pant. It was on accident, guys. I've been like cutting out meat from a lot of my diet. Like I feel like I used to eat meat so much and now I just eat it occasionally or like in different ways.
You're like a scavenger. Whenever you just get food, that's when you eat.
Exactly. That's pretty much how it is. So, but whatever. I lost the pant size, which is awesome.
It's pretty dope.
I got my Society 6 tapestry hanging up on the wall.
And it looks like a, what did I say? A sloth and like a raggedy doll on the bottom.
Okay, well, it's actually a raggedy cactus.
I mean, it is.
Okay,
but so. If they could see it, maybe you should post this somewhere. So that people can to see what I'm talking about.
And guys, so I need to call out my anti-sponsor today, just at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna talk to Target really quick because Target ran me for a motherfucking loop for 3 hours.
Talk about Target.
Well, it's my anti-sponsor this week, so I'm gonna talk about it because that's what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks dealing with this. All I wanted was a comforter, Target, and you got the email. We'll talk later. Anyway, shit. Now I'm mad.
Now, first of all, I know we're not about to jump off this, but you bought this motherfucking $100 comforter and you got rags and shit laying on top. Wait, how do they know that? Okay.
They're not.
We're in the studio, guys.
We're in the studio. Woo! We're not in my bedroom looking at the things we're talking about.
What are we talking about today? Strokes?
So today we're going to talk about self-hatred because we've been experiencing a lot of that.
Yes.
Not ourselves. But we've been observing, I guess I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Observing self-hatred in the media a lot recently. For me, the biggest act of self-hate, alleged self-hate, was the Orlando shooting. I think by now everyone knows the story. Omar Mateen came into Pulse nightclub in Orlando and shot and killed 49 people, injured about 50-something people, and was allegedly gay. And this was also allegedly an act for ISIS, and allegedly he just hated gays and blacks too. And there was an ex-coworker that said that he just was shaking mad all the time, sweating, and wanted to kill all these people all the time. They worked in security. He bought his gun because he had a security license. So comes after he was questioned by the FBI about his ties to terrorism.
I need to like know more about that.
It's
no, I mean, I know, like I've heard it, but just like if what does it mean for the FBI for you to be on their list? Wouldn't that be someone you're watching constantly? How does that person obtain a gun? I mean,
an assault rifle.
Very interesting.
It's very interesting.
You know, was he on the FBI list after the shooting happened and they wanted to just say that? I don't know. It just seems very strange that someone would be on a list of that stature, but they were able to purchase a gun and no one in the FBI knew about it.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much of this story is being written.
I know.
Ghost,
exactly.
You know? So there's, you know, the alleged ISIS affiliation comes from accounts of him stating that he was a part of ISIS, whatever, on a couple 911 calls, and a couple of the victims that were now alive, or, you know, survivors, I guess they are, saying that he was shouting out, like, in the name of ISIS or the whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that's alleged to me. Like, I'm not doubting their accounts, but I have just such a hard time with the way that the media portrays brown people, especially if they're bad. Like, for instance, Dylann Roof. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear much about Dylann Roof. It took the social justice warriors online to tell us about Dylann Roof's background and activities online. It took them, because we weren't going to hear about it on TV, you know? And then, like, remember that guy that shot the news reporter on TV?
Yeah.
You know how quick it was for us to see inside of the man's apartment?
I mean...
You know what I'm saying? Like it took no time at all. So I'm not defending these people.
Sometimes I just despise the media. I feel like if you're talking about self-hate, they really do play a part in it, because they have this platform and it's just so mishandled. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking in a general sense, because I'm talking about like the big players mm-hmm. in the game who have access to, like, someone out in rural county Montana, that may be all that they see, mm-hmm. you know?
And people really, really do get this information from whatever news source that they get. And they take it, and that's the word. And they don't understand that it's coming from an angle, you know? So that's why for me, like, I try my best not to take news from one angle, even though I am biased mm-hmm. to want it from one side. That didn't sound right. To want it from... anyway. But I'm inclined to listen to certain stories over the other. But taking all accounts is the way that it goes, you know? And I really only believe the people online that aren't getting paid to tell me anything. They're just telling what they've researched or what someone else researched, you know? It's the information age is here, you know? And the fact that the media can still try to pull strings and insult our intelligence is ridiculous. So all these stories about Omar's background and things like that, or affiliation with whatever, I'll just be waiting for the whole story to unroll and unravel and hear what we have to hear, whatever they want to tell us, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything. I'm not thinking about alternatives, mm-hmm. but it's so hard for me to believe it, just because there's so much racism that is fueling the conversation right now.
Right now, xenophobia. Especially.
I just had a conversation with a girl on Facebook today. Like, you've been in troll fights before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty.
But I don't usually do that. I wouldn't say she's a troll by any means, but she was posting. She was like, this is not just an attack on the gays. This is an attack on gays and America. He was an American citizen. Like, you've already cut this man loose from America because he's brown.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Do you know what this country was built on? Do you know who was here before really America was here?
Okay.
You know, so when you're sitting here looking at someone and saying they're not American because of this, like, you haven't been reading the last whatever 100 whatever years.
You don't know how you got into your state.
Yeah, like, come on now.
Yeah. That's purely American. And so these patriots, which I still think being a patriot, it's an honorable thought. It's cute. It's what second graders do when they hold their hand over mm-hmm. their heart for the Pledge of Allegiance and things like that. But in reality, you patriots are sitting around calling Obama a nigger every day. This is supposed to be land of the free, you know, home of the brave. How brave is it to stockpile people from Africa, 10 people tall, on a ship, throw them overboard after they're giving birth while they're tied up in chains? You know what I mean?
So sick, man.
So brave. Out of here. Like, do not tell black people to be patriots. Don't tell me. I was at Ballpark Village. I guess we're talking about locations now. But I was at Ballpark Village and everyone just stopped in the midst of what we were doing because someone was singing the national anthem. And I just kept on about.
Oh, yeah. When I went to the last Cardinals game, I was in line getting some food and the Pledge of Allegiance, they were about to do it. So they turn off the lights at all the stands and everyone kind of stands around, looks TV, put their hands. And I just stood there.
Man, I'm hungry.
And there was this lady like mean mugging me. And and when you mean that, I'm like looking at you like, what's up?
Right.
But it's just like, what
Canada,
do these words really mean? We've just been so programmed. And I'm not going to stand there with my hand over my heart, not because I'm anti-America or whatever, but it's just like, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean what it's supposed to.
You know?
Not at all.
What am I doing this for? What does that do? I don't know.
America was built by black people on the backs of black people so that black people can survive. It was stolen from brown people, and you've made a damn near extinct race.
It's so crazy.
That's America.
It's so crazy.
So what Omar did sounds awfully American to me. And there are plenty of patriots that would do the same. Plenty.
Yeah, there was the pastor that I seen recently who came out and he's like, yeah, I'm mad that he didn't shoot more.
Praise the Lord, right? I bet you, know, he was Christian.
And absolutely. Mm-hmm. But is he a Christian terrorist? Is he out in the news? Now that he's out in the news and people know that this is the type of sermons that he delivers, mm-hmm. is he a terrorist?
Should we be blocking all Christians from coming to the United States?
You know, Donald Trump, it's just,
your
answer. Oh my goodness. Like, even like with the Republican Party, all these people are coming out, not even about Orlando, but just about Trump being the nominee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're like, our party is batshit crazy.
Yeah, they're not pleased.
You know, well, how did this happen?
So I don't know. Like, so it's not official that he's going to be the Republican
nominee. I mean, but who else is out there?
But I'm saying it could be that he's not going to be a Republican nominee. He's going to be whatever. And so it's going to not be a Democrat-Republican breakdown this year. Because mm-hmm. it's not a bipartisan yeah. election at all. Like, there's different parties that you can run under.
And if I hate when they, like, attack each other. It's so childish. Now they're like, they do it on Twitter. I'm just like, what
would
we come to?
It's
gross.
We're
an embarrassment to the entire world.
Right.
Like, this is insane. You think, like, the presidency is supposed to be sophisticated. I don't know what, like, when you're a kid, it's just like, wow, this man's like, mm-hmm. or a woman, now yep. we can think this,
uh-huh.
most powerful person in the world. And now it's just like, this bitch was just on Twitter.
Yes.
This dude was just on Twitter.
Talking about delete your account. You know how many times I say that to my friends on Twitter? Like, what? Like, this is not.
I'm not even mad at her for saying that. I'm just like, because look at what you're dealing with when it comes to him. It's just like, it'd be hard to take the high road, but I'm just saying it's a joke on all ends that this is what we've come to.
This is
to.
What the presidency is. This is what our government is. Like, this is cartoonish, and it's almost like they're not going to be the president. It's like they're going to win the dodgeball tournament.
Like,
they're just waiting to be the last one standing.
Yeah, I'm going to come in and destroy everything Obama did. Da, 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 da. I'm just like, but why?
Right, because homeboy needs health care. You know what
okay?
I mean?
Okay, like, I haven't seen this many people with health care.
Okay, everybody's got a Band-Aid on. The fuck?
You know? We got Barack Obama Elementary School.
Okay. Shouts out to B.O. Okay.
Oh, man. I don't know.
It's a lot, but yeah, I don't even want to get into the election stuff because that's...
Let's not. I know. There's that question mark meme with what's his face, Nick Young from Lakers. Just put that there when you talk about politics.
That's basically me.
I don't know what's going on.
It's just exhausting. I do have friends that are really, really into it. I'm going to let y'all handle it because for me, it's...
I don't know.
That's my reaction.
I don't know. I almost wanted to go on politics. That's very strange.
Did you really?
Yeah, but then I just realized you can't really be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't do well with politics that aren't even involved in politics. Just
like workplace politics.
Yeah.
And respectability politics, which, oh my God. Like, I can't see you being Condoleezza. Okay.
No.
No. Not at all.
But I feel like maybe that's the way of the world, that transition needs to happen. Like, we need to, yes, we want to hold our politicians to a different level than us, but they're not human.
Right. So maybe they can tweet at each other.
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Fuck this shit. For those of you who don't know, they're ESPN 30 for 30, who they do really awesome documentaries on, most of the time it's sports, mm-hmm. obviously. But they did one on OJ called OJ, Made in America.
Interesting.
I mean, the title itself is so, like, it's just the fact that we kind of made this person and the crime that he did. We made it. It just happened at the perfect time in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say perfect because people are murdered.
Right.
I'm saying it's
most convenient, like,
exactly.
for the publicity.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a 5-part series.
Jeez.
And it's like 2 hours each.
And you want me to watch that?
I know, but like,
I won't even watch Roots.
You can listen to it. I don't know.
Man.
Okay, so it breaks down to 5 parts. So the first part is about his youth, his time at USC, how he was made to be this god, this mm-hmm. hero, this walking legend because of what he could do with the football, and how he kind of transcended race because at a time when when Black people were, you know, in different parts of the country, the 60s, hello.
Yeah.
All the shit was going on with desegregation, with the riots. Like, they literally juxtapose it with the USC Coliseum, which is this, I don't know, you're not a sports guy, but it's a big deal. How on one side of the stadium is where all the affluent white people live, and on the other side, it's the poor Blacks. It's literally just like that.
Wow.
And that sets the tone for the entire documentary. Mm-hmm. And just how he saw himself as, quote, I'm OJ. I'm not Black.
Mm-mm.
People see me, whites, Black, whoever. It's because of me. Okay, so that sets his tone. And then, you know, 2 and 3 goes into how, you know, he met his Nicole, how he was married at the time, he had 2 kids. And once again, it goes back to the civil rights movement that's happening at the same time. All the prominent Black athletes who said, I'm not going to the Olympics because you can't even respect me as a Black American in my country. So I'm not going to represent you on a world stage. And then you have on the other side, OJ, like, they're kind of stupid. It doesn't make sense. I'm out for myself. Okay.
Oh, he sounds like an amazing person.
I know. But it's and then they keep building it up. You know, he's accepted. He's breaking all these barriers. Here's the thing. He was like one of the first ones to be in these prominent sponsorship commercials, like for Hertz rental car, all these barriers with acting, all these things that, like, if he was an awesome Black guy, I don't even know what that even means. I know. If he was a great person, period. It would be like, whoa, he really broke down those barriers. He'd be in the history book. But
he didn't do it by being great. He did it by being a coon.
By being a coon.
Right.
The number one fucking coon. And it's just like, okay. So just it just keeps going back and forth, like, what's going on in OJ's life? And then they go to this one guy. I don't even remember his name, but the reporter asked him, so what was going on at the time of the 60s? If you could sum it up, what was going on? OJ was winning USC football games. Like, my nigga, you don't know that the civil rights shit was going on?
That was a Black person?
No, this was a white guy.
Well, of course, but he didn't give a fuck.
That's what I'm like, showing. They're showing, like, what was significant to essentially OJ's world versus what was going on literally in his backyard. He was from, like, he grew up in California and he was from the fucking hood, the projects. He had, you know, little run-ins as a kid with the law. And for the most part, which really made me kind of sad, I don't even know if sad's right, maybe frustrated, is that he was still hanging out with some of the Black guys that he grew up with, right? And they would have conversations with him about him being not in touch with his culture.
Right.
And instead of really letting him know that's wrong, they just like, man, that's just OJ. They said themselves, I'm like, he just kind of was able to wiggle his way out of anything.
Okay,
but
so like
enablers.
Pause right there. But do you see how dangerous letting that shit go is?
Yeah.
Like, we all know the end of the story already.
Yeah.
You see how dangerous that is by letting someone just coon out and live this fantasy and stuff? Because then he goes on to allegedly, he goes on to kill.
He killed her.
Right.
All these people that were on his team, that were in his photos, that were big prominent people in his lives, turned on him like nothing.
Because he's
just
not
like
OJ
he turned
anymore.
On the Black community when he decided that he didn't want to be Black.
Okay.
And those were the first people he ran to because, like I said, the Rodney King beating, which when you say Rodney King beating, people go back and look at that shit that was going on.
So
it's the
gruesome.
Same shit that's going on. And it's, they beat the shit out of this man,
gruesome.
Unarmed, whether he had a DUI or not, cuffed that nigga. But they were just, it's disgusting. And I didn't even know a white guy was one that recorded the video from his balcony. Yeah, he was the one that did it. And, so all this shit's going on, all this real shit, and it happened at the perfect time, and it was kind of fucked up because obviously when you really go in the depths of this case, that nigga did it, DNA,
exactly. Like,
witnesses, whatever, but the jurors and whoever really just wanted to put that middle finger up to America and say, you know what, you screwed us so many times. Now see how it feels.
And it sucks because that was the win that Black people needed. That was the win.
That was the win.
That was it.
You know, it's fucked up.
Oh.
It's like he wasn't even, and I don't even know, like they said, he wasn't even deserving to be a civil rights icon, which is essentially how he was looked at the time, because mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know what? Finally, we've got justice mm-hmm. for what? A moment. And the next day they're still going to come out and shoot us.
Not
like,
even for it's a moment. Just, for oh my a God.
I really recommend people going out and watching that, just because it's some of the same shit going on. Mm-hmm. And then for those people that think, just because you're in a community where you're not surrounded by Black people or whatever, and you're Black, that you're not different.
You're not. You don't have to give up your Blackness
exactly.
For your quote unquote safety or assimilation. Like, you can still be yourself.
Yeah.
You can.
And to think that all those people were enabling him because he had money, because it had prestige.
They made him, you know, made them money.
You know, absolutely. And that's what made me so angry. It's just like, you're sitting here trashing this man, this disgusting person, by the way.
Right.
Disgusting.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. But what were you
exactly
in that situation?
Exactly.
What did you contribute to him thinking that, you know, I'm OJ? And actually, it's this scene where after the Bronco chase, and they're taking him from his house to the police station. Mm-hmm. And in the neighborhood that he lived in, called Brentwood, very sophisticated, mm-hmm. Affluent white neighborhood. And he's in the car. And he's like, sees all the protesters, all the people supporting him who mm-hmm. are all Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what are all these niggas doing here? But they said, what are all these niggers doing in here? And I don't know if I see too many people saying niggers when you're Black. I don't know. But
well,
maybe he did. Yeah. I just was like, that guy just wanted to say it on TV because he was white.
Yeah, to get away with saying nigger.
But what are all these niggers doing mm-hmm. in the neighborhood? You know? And I was just like, oh my God.
Now,
like,
I bet you OJ said something to that effect, but I also bet you that man just was like, went home and fist bumped all his boys. I was mm-hmm. like, I said nigger on ASB.
Exactly.
Get some iced tea. We about
Man.
To party.
Right. Ugh, disgusting. And then another guy who was really important, not important, but just people remember him, was Mark Furman, who was the LAPD chief commander or something at that time. Mm-hmm. And he was a witness for the prosecution mm-hmm. because he was on site with everything. He's mm-hmm. the one that saw the glove. But apparently he had a really negative past with Black people, calling them niggers, beating them, all this kind of crazy shit. And then so when they interviewed people for this documentary, it was like obviously 20 years later. And he's like, well, you know, it was just a bad time. You know, I might have said nigger. I don't know. Da, 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 da. Like just like
dismissing
just
it.
Just dismissing it.
Yeah.
And now this, and I looked the guy up. He's a correspondent for Fox News. He's wrote multiple books. I've even read one of his books and didn't even fucking know it. Like, didn't even know. Like, I felt like, oh my God, the same stuff that was going on then is going on now. And mm-hmm. that, what do they say? Like, if you don't know your history, it repeats itself.
I mean, my mom was just, I was just hanging out with my mom, which mm-hmm. we'll get to in the Perfect 26. we were talking about OJ because she's actually watching the show too.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you watching it? I'm like, girl, you know, I don't have cable anyway. So
no excuse either.
I'm not getting Mr. World from here.
Yes, you are.
But, she was like, I just remember all that happening at once and not wanting you to leave the house. Just because, you know, as a Black, it's different being a mother to a Black son, but as a parent of a Black child in that climate, in this climate that we have right now, in the climate that my mom grew up in,
mm-hmm.
it's scary to let your kids go outside because you don't know what the world's going
to
make of them.
I don't want them to play with anything. Like, when you think about, I was buying something for my nephew for him graduating kindergarten, and I saw all these like super soaker guns and this and that and third. It's like, no.
Nope. My mom did not let me have toy guns.
That's stressful.
Yep.
I had toy guns though.
I didn't.
You know?
We had water balloons, but we were not allowed to have water mm-hmm. guns. And when my friend had a birthday party and it was, there were little water guns in the gift bags or whatever, and she threw it away. I still remember that because I was so pissed, but it's like, now I get it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the world's going to make of your Black child. They can make you into an OJ and hold you up and be great and da, 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 da. And then that kid's brainwashed and then that kid acts on its normal you know, instincts mm-hmm. which is apparently murder for OJ. Ugh. And then the world's gonna turn against them, the same monster that they made.
He was beating the shit out of her and the cops were there at least 10 times. It's disgusting. But
I didn't even finish watching the show on FX. I should probably watch that.
I really think watching both, because there was a Black Chris Darden was the Black prosecutor. He was on their team. And it's just like, Like he could have been prominent in his own sense, mm-hmm. but because people looked at him like you're on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. So black people, that's how they may have looked at him. And then white people like you lost this case, you know? So he just really you don't see him corresponding for CNN or anything else. And he didn't even call anyone, you know, any kind of racial crazy thing like the Mark guy. It's just, it's very bizarre. But I think a lot of these athletes, when I think about my own experience with black athletes at predominantly white schools or whatever, they do think of themselves as not really being, no, I don't want to say like all of them, but I've had experience where I felt like a lot of them didn't get.
Yeah.
What was going on?
I get what you're saying because I don't know anybody that plays like a college sport or is like high up, but like you see how they are like online with a lot of things that are not like they go to like the Kentucky Derby. Not to say like black people can't do that, but I mean like that's the same, like they leave that and wear the same clothes to the luncheon party, you know,
like
what I mean?
I'm not gonna like
they go to white trash bashes as like a team.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you kidding me? So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just very, and then there are some like the Mizzou football players who spoke out. I forgot what the situation was because there's so much shit that has happened here in Missouri.
It was that Mizzou wasn't handling graffiti.
Oh yeah, when it was when people left the cotton balls and all that shit.
Right, and just little things like that. It could be violence.
Mm-hmm. And when they spoke out, it was like take their scholarships away, do this, that, and the third, and da da da. But if they were winning, if they were a winning team, and these black athletes spoke, maybe some of these kids were like, oh yeah, okay. Oh yeah, you know, we'll speak out. Oh, you're losing games because you're too worried about the politics, da 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 da.
First of all,
what?
Mizzou has some issues.
A lot.
Beyond that.
That's why I didn't want to go there.
Even a couple years prior to the protest that the football players did, which, congratulations, that was awesome. Seriously, and I commend.
I'm so excited.
But Mizzou is kind of, has a very thin veil up on how they handle their issues on their campus.
Absolutely.
Because when Michael Sam came out, when they became the voice of, you know, gay pride and like, ooh, Michael Sam to the ramp, da 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 da, all that stuff, that was only weeks after a girl jumped off of a building because they did not have the facilities in place for mental health. They did not have the consistency that was needed to help that girl get through whatever she was going through. Yeah. They had a girl jump off of a building. They're like, don't look that way because we have a gay football player. You knew he was gay freshman year.
You guys knew he was gay. Like
saving that shit in your pocket for the right time and you got it.
Yep.
Too bad you couldn't bring up your gay football player when there was graffiti all over the campus. And don't act like that was the first time graffiti was all over. The graffiti
it's
just
been a lot
up.
Of incidents. Like, I know when I was in high school, I'd heard about things. Yeah. And I took a trip out there because I was planning on, oh, I might go here. And you go in there and I looked around like, this would not be the place for me.
No, I mean, it's not new over there. And we're not going to start bashing Mizzou or anything like that. But these campuses out here,
lot of them. It's not just Mizzou. Absolutely.
These campuses out here that are building up these black men like OJ to make them into puppets.
It's
real.
It's very real.
They're not here for you. They're not here to protect you. And when you fuck up, you're out.
Right. You know, if they weren't an athlete, you'd be crossing the other side of the street.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't be going to their parties late at night. Mm-hmm. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Like,
Becky, you would not be having his name in your phone.
Or dick in your mouth. Sorry. I'm just like,
okay.
I'm speaking from what I've seen.
Well, let's take a break on that note. Okay.
Go put a dick in your mouth, everybody.
Don't be surprised if she asks with a kiss. With a kiss.
And styled.
Okay. So now it's time for fake sponsors, which we actually already have a theme song.
Yeah, that's one of our sponsors, actually. So if you download the Jingle Jingle.
Bye.
Jingle Jingle. Jingle Jingle. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
What is your sponsor? Or who, I guess?
The person I'm doing.
Oh my God.
I got a sponsor. You never heard that song?
Is that Tierra Marie?
Yeah.
Didn't she just get arrested?
Yeah, she did something.
What'd she do? I don't know. My sponsor is Tara Marie's bail bondsman. So whatever money you get, right, pass it to me and I'll make sure it gets handled. Okay. All right, so my sponsor for this week is going to be the Watering Bowl of St. Louis, Missouri. It's a doggy daycare that I don't want to pay for. So thank you guys for keeping my dog every day for free pickup and drop off after hours and before hours and for boarding too.
He's a working dad.
I
he sees his dog once an hour.
I thank you guys so much for holding her when I need you to hold her, but I don't want to pay the money. They actually have reasonable prices and everything, but
free is always better.
Free is so much better. Yeah, I'm just so happy that they decided to sponsor us at this show.
Speaking of watering bowls, I want to bring it to our next sponsor, Depends.
Oh.
Because while we've been recording this show, I've had an accident, but because of Depends, and they made black ones for us.
The cute little, cute little adult diapers.
I'm good.
That's great. Do you know how many adult babies there are, by the way? That's that's a real fetish and people wearing diapers. Shout out to the adults.
So you can make money babies just by wearing a diaper.
No, you probably have to make money by changing the diaper.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Shout out to Depends. Can you see sponsor? We're recording now.
Oh.
Okay.
You're sipping on Fireball Ball and water.
It's delicious.
That's my other sponsor. No.
All right. So Perfect 26. Let's do updates. How was your spin? You're supposed to.
All right. So I was supposed to treat myself because I'm very cheap. So I did some online shopping.
Ooh. What'd you get?
And I got about 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 new lipsticks and 2 pencils, and you know, makeup can get expensive.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I don't speak this language. Oh. When you said pencils, I was like, oh, you got.
Oh yeah, this is a whole world.
Yeah.
For those of you, you know, lippies, pencils, like, let's talk. First of all, we can be friends because you know the lingo. But I don't know. Usually, it's not that I have a hard time treating myself. It's just that guilt that I feel after I've spent money. Yeah. And I decided, okay, I'm not gonna feel guilty. So I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought some more. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I just bought one other one that I bought one that costs more than the 5 that I
handling?
No, I bought that one in person.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
First of all, but I don't know, I'm just trying to get rid of that guilt because I feel like I work hard for my money.
Yeah.
And I'm not like out here recklessly spending and buying things I don't need. So I just need to
And just
be okay with that. Yeah.
You did it. You work so you can live.
I work so I can live. Yeah. You know, you can't die with that fucking money, you know?
Right. I gotta break that barrier.
I probably learned this from your ass. Probably,
well, I don't know. Well, since I lost the pant size, I repeat it again.
Yeah.
So I bought new pants, which is nice.
Oh, you already did?
Yeah, there was 50% off, though.
Hey.
On Old Navy.
What's wrong with that? Old Navy is wonderful.
But yeah.
So anyway, that was my Perfect 26 challenge.
Good.
Woo, yay me.
You did a good job.
What about you, sir?
Yeah, so mine was to hang out with my family, and I have hung out with them a few times. It's just as painful.
Oh, yeah.
As
it was. I've seen your Snapchat. Like, you were at.
Oh, my goodness. So, the day after the show comes out, we have to go to a recital for my little cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, woo, woo. Love you so much. All great, all good. Why is a dance recital 5 hours? 5 hours.
That's painful.
5 hours. Starting
at
5:45. We got there. And we didn't leave until 10:40. Well, we left at probably 10:30. But still, why am I there till 10 anything? If I'm thinking of a recital, I'm there at 5 something.
An hour, 2 hours max. You know, boom.
And this was on a Friday night. You know how mad I was?
You're nice.
I was supposed to go to a Prince party.
What?
Yeah, it was a Prince dance party.
And you did that for some... No, I'm just playing.
For some people jumping around. Like, it was...
That's ridiculous.
Oh, and it's not my kid. So, like, it was nice. The dances were nice. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
But I think the problem was each dance had a different costume. So we had to wait for 8 girls or, you know, 10 people to change clothes. That is not necessary.
That's awful.
Let me tell you how many albums I've listened to, or how many artists I've listened to, and I've planned their entire tours with 8 costumes, okay? You should get into
it. I don't even think that you could watch Beyonce for that long.
I'm not watching her change clothes for every single
thing. You know, I don't even, that's really awful that they would do that to people.
They need me on the team.
Yeah.
Because they need, like, listen, like, I literally, so guys, anybody else here weird? All right, great, you're weird too. I not only make fake album covers for fun, but I set up tours for artists that I like. That's my, like, tour planning. So it's like lights and what the stage looks like and shit, and down to the costumes and the set list.
Maybe.
I did a Katy Perry tour a couple years ago at work, actually. Yeah. And like, I wasn't supposed to. It was when I was like in retail.
Yeah.
And I was back in the warehouse drawing on this dry erase board. Mm-hmm. I was like, this will be the costume for the first 4 songs. Then she takes the jacket off and it's this. Like, that's what I did.
Weird as fuck.
I'm gonna do that for this company. You know, that's my perfect 26. Fix this shit, because there's no reason a recital should last 5 hours.
There's no reason.
Baby should be in bed by 9.
That's awful. So, sorry.
Sorry, I just went on a tangent. I wanted to tell you guys about how awful it was and also how talented I am. So if anybody out there is hiring, I'm your boy. All right. So now we have our new, we already picked our new challenges. So Khadisi's challenge is...
All right. So it looks like my challenge is going to be to write for 1 hour every day.
Can you do that?
I think I can.
You used to write. You write.
I do write. It's just when I'm forced, not forced, I guess. I think it makes sense to make time to do it, just mm-hmm. because I feel like sometimes there's not enough hours in the day. And when you get home from work, I know me, sometimes I just want to like turn off my brain.
Yes.
So I have to like push myself to focus on things, you know.
Yeah.
Those are my goal. So I think, you know what, I am going to do it. And I'm going to start today.
That'll
tonight.
Be good.
Because I got some thoughts.
Good.
So it's happening.
Do you have a blog or anything that your writings are published, or is it just all
inside? I don't know that a blog is for me. I want to write a novel. Mm-hmm. And so, like, okay. I told you that time, like, I have 50 pages of, like, my creative fiction story together. Yes. But me being perfectionist when it comes to that has made it a challenge for me to finish, because I never think it's going to be good enough, or I change my ideas. Ooh. So I really need to like, just put a bunch of shit out there and maybe meet with some kind of editor or something, just to like get a focus. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm really good at that. I don't know.
When you talked about perfectionism, just heard on another round, actually, Ashley Ford was talking about perfectionism and how she discovered that she's a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both suffer. We both suffer from perfectionism. And a lot of times people think that perfectionists are the people that get straight A's or are valedictorians mm-hmm. or get the highest paying job and move through companies fast and shit like that.
Yeah.
But really what it is for a lot of people is it manifests as a big stumbling block for people to become successful, because your bar is set so high. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to reach that bar.
That's absolutely how I feel in this situation. So
that's going to be another challenge for us, to just get over it.
Yeah, it's easy to say.
Someone else.
It is your baby. Like, especially me with my writing, it's very personal. I think there was one time in high school I had wrote probably like 5 or 6 pages worth of a fiction story, and I don't know why, what like made me share it with the girls in the gym class freshman year, and then they got done reading it and they were just like, I don't understand. And I was just like, you stupid bitches. Right. And I just like walked away. I was just like, I was such an angry person. So I probably did go off, but.
Well, maybe with some of your writing, would you share it with me?
I don't know.
We'll think about it.
All maybe right. That'll be a challenge, but let's see.
I understand the challenge. All right. So my challenge for this week for the next 2 weeks is to go to the gym every day. Every weekday, not the weekends.
Yeah.
Which is actually something that I've done before.
Yeah.
So, and it goes, I mean, it's great timing because I already lost the pant size.
Right.
So
keep it now going.
Now I'm thinking about actually trying, which is fun. But I had a challenge that I gave myself that was just to go to the gym consecutive days for as long as I could. And I did 31 days. And I cooked my meals throughout the 31 days.
Holy
too.
Shit.
So it was like really healthy. It was, you know, a healthy month. And it was great. And I felt really good after doing that, but then my motivation just kind of left. So yeah, for 2 weeks, I'm going to do it again and see how I feel. My biggest thing about the gym is seeing other people, because I'm a big dude. So mm-hmm. it's like, I've always felt weird about athleticism because I don't want to be the slowest.
Don't you think that's like when people, like, that's like talking shit about a sick person in the hospital. Obviously, you're there to get better.
That's,
you know,
a good way to think about
that's
it.
That's how I think about it.
I don't think about it. I think, oh my God, like, I'm sweating more than that person. I don't, you know what I mean?
That is me. I'm working hard. Hey.
Okay, well, that's how I used
sorry,
to
feel. Sorry.
That's how I used to feel.
Yeah.
I'm, now that I'm older, I'm, mm-hmm. and it's true. Like, when you get older, you give less of a fuck.
Yeah.
And so I'm giving no fuck. I feel a lot better about my body than I did before.
Okay.
But that's kept, that fear from before kept mm-hmm. me out of the gym, kept me away from like playing sports and things yeah. like that, and going outdoors and being outdoorsy. Mm-hmm. And like, I make all these jokes about how I like fuck the outdoors and, you know, fuck sports and things like that, but I feel like I am just as interested as anyone else in that thing, in those things, but for so long I just never wanted to be the slowest or the worst player
yeah.
or the first person to, you know, have to take a break in a hike or things like that, like right. I didn't want to be that, so yeah. I just avoided it. But now I'm like, fuck it, I'm interested in these things, and like, I don't care who believes me or not. I told a lot of jokes saying that I didn't, but now I'm interested. So now what I'm interested in is going to the gym and feeling healthy and feeling fit.
Yeah.
So
maybe I'll go with you on that, you know?
No, I just said I don't want other people to go with me. Like, you weren't listening.
I'm listening. I'm saying, like, maybe I'll, I mean, like,
okay,
maybe
no,
I'll
we'll go
do,
together. We'll go together.
I'll do that challenge because it is good. Man, shut the fuck up.
No, we'll
shit.
Go. We'll go together. We'll go together. It'll be great. All right. That'd be good. You'll be my accountability partner.
Yeah.
But also, for you, you're going to have to show me something of your writing every
hey,
day.
Every day?
You're How writing about, every day.
I know, but I'm saying I'm not going to show you everything that I write. I
not
can
like,
show you.
I don't
you.
Need to read it. You just need to show me that.
Okay, I can show
it.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk. I'll let you know what you
She's
can
about
read
to show
and what
me the
you
same
can't
page
read.
Over and over.
Right. You're like, that right. looked awful. No, it didn't, nigga.
Just say, once upon a time, not long ago,
God. I was a hoe.
And I'm in there.
That should be the theme.
All right.
All right, guys. So if you like us, which you definitely do because you've come this far, go ahead and email us at theblacktableis@gmail.com. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at @blacktablepod, on Instagram at @theblacktablepod, and Facebook at @theblacktablepod, or search The Black Table Podcast and my nipples will pop up.
Great. Or you make sure that you're listening to us. You can listen to us on anything. Just found out that we were on Google Play. So I guess anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can listen to The Black Table. And if you're looking for us on a pod or on your podcast app, you don't see us, email us and let us know, because I think that we should be on there.
We'll have
so,
a problem.
Yeah. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share, especially on iTunes. We're doing some good numbers on Podomatic, which is really nice, mm-hmm. but definitely want to be seeing your reviews on iTunes.
Seriously, Mom, what the fuck? Why would you not, like, review us?
Keep that at home.
Okay.
So don't forget to follow us online. So my handle on most every social media platform that I'm on is just STFU Strokes.
My name only on Twitter is Kadisi. If you'd like to follow me on Snapchat, though, so it's spelled C-A-D-I-M, and that means Kadisi in this language I created.
AKA, she was drunk when she made the Snapchat.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening again. We really do appreciate you, and we'll be excited to talk to you in a couple weeks.
See ya.
See you later.
Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money. This is for all my hoes. All my gold digging hoes. Money getting love, my hoes. About the riches, all my hoes. Broke niggas don't do those. And I'm admitting it, I rip a nigga. Ever's been a feds, Cineflick, tennis strip, independent chick.